Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him and bear witness that there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah and that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers shed upon Him, His companions, His household and those who follow Him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Implementation of the name of Allah Al-Adl. The two things that we need to know about the implementation of the name of Allah Al-Adl and implementing this name in our daily life. The first thing is to know the difference between equality and justice. Equality is not always justice. Sometimes and many times equality is injustice. For example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Noon, said, أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ. Should we make equal the good guys and the bad guys? مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. You know, hello, do you have brains? Think about it. How could you say that, think about a judge in the court who's going to treat the good guys and the bad guys the same. Both of them end up in the same place, 6 foot underground. You know, if this is the case, both of them end up in 6 foot under the ground and this is the end and there is no resurrection and there is no day of judgment, then why? I mean, a judge that will treat good guys and bad guys the same is a bad judge. Actually, is a corrupted judge that will make our life miserable because the bad guys will run out of control. I mean, what would control them? You know, if they are going to end up like the good guys. So why should they fight their temptation and selfishness and greed and jealousy and envy and hate and all of these temptations? Why should they fight it? What's the motive? If at the end they will end up underground. And the people on the other hand who sacrifice to make others happy and to reform life and, you know, do all these kind of good deeds, why should they do it? They will be called idiots because they would end up the same like the bad guys. So here we go. Should we treat the justice is to treat equal things equally and unequal things in a way proportional to their level of importance. So here we go, the body and the soul. The soul is the inner part, and the body is the out part. It's like a gift. Which one is more important? The what is the gift itself or the box that you put the gift in? The box is not important at all. You take the box and you open the box, you throw the box in the trash and you keep the gift. The box is just to protect the gift. So the content is better than the container. And this is how we should treat and deal with our body and soul so that we can keep the balance. Keeping the balance is not to treat them equally. Keep the balance is to emphasize the soul. For if the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna fil jasadi la mudghah, idha saluhat, saluha al jasadu kullu, wa idha fasadat, fasad al jasadu kullu, ala wa hiya al qalb. There is a part in this body, if it's good, the whole body is good. If it's bad, the whole body is bad, which is the heart. So that is the most important part. When we look at the materialistic culture, such as the one we're going through, we not only know a lot about the body, much more than we know about the soul. And we know how to treat the body medically. At least we have some knowledge in this area. And we know... We take care, very good care of the body, the best perfume, the best clothes, the best exercising environment and machine and everything. But we also, on the other hand, in this culture, have nothing for the soul. What kind of food do we have for the soul? Confusion, denial of the existence of Allah, misunderstanding of subhanahu wa ta'ala, and misunderstanding of His nature. This is all what we have for the soul, really. You go to a place where you get the correct description of Allah and inspires your soul, that's all what we have available for the soul. Now, the soul is like the body. The soul gets sick, the body gets sick. The body gets blind, the soul also gets blind. The body dies, the soul dies. We call him a dead heart. And Allah says, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ كَمَنْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا. Compare the one whom we have, who was dead, and we made him alive, and by giving him a light. And this light, he's walking among the people. With this light, people can see because of his light, because he is like the lamp. The lamp, we are able to see because of the lamp. So he's like a walking lamp, making everybody able to see the truth and to follow the truth. Look at his example and compare this example with the one who's dead. Walking among the people dead. I mean, that he's not providing any kind of light. Not to mention that he's shedding darkness. And every time he sees a light, he brings a blanket and put it in the light. Cover this light, cover this light, cover this light. To keep people in the darkness, because he has an interest in the darkness. So he's investing in the darkness. Because with the darkness, corruption comes. With corruption, that person is able to manipulate the system and get more than his or her fair share. So compare the examples of both. The one who's dead and the one who's alive. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about death here, it's not the death of the body, it is the death of the soul. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, which is a surah dedicated to our role on earth, as Allah's khulafa, as Allah's representatives on earth. Allah says, Summun, Bukmun, Umyun, Fahum la yasma'un. You know, they are deaf, they can't hear. They are mute, they cannot talk. And they are blind, they cannot see. And the question is, but those people really can hear, can talk, can see. But no, that's not what Allah means. It is not al-basar, it is al-basira. Basar and basira. Basar is this one, you can see. Basira is to able to see the right thing as right and the wrong thing as wrong. When you feel bad about the wrong thing and you feel good about the right thing, then you have basira. When you feel good about the bad thing, you see a bad thing, you feel good about it. And you see a good thing, you feel disgusted. And you feel that it's not good for you, or it's backward, or whatever, like, or whatever, anything like that. Then you don't have the basira. The basira is to, and this is one of the things that Allah gives to the prophets and to the people who know how to live up to that level. Because it's really mercy from Allah sometimes that we don't know exactly what Allah wants. Because we are not going to be able to follow it. So if Allah will somehow give you a clear description of what He wants, or a clear knowledge of what He wants, you might not follow it. And then you will be in big trouble. So sometimes it is mercy from Allah that we are not sure which thing is right, which thing is wrong, so we can get the benefit of the doubt. So basira comes with a responsibility. Oh, now you have basira, now you know, how are you going to do with it? So that's why it's sometimes mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that some people don't have basira, so that they are not held accountable against their own basira, against their own knowledge, against their own special thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. But the bottom line here, that the soul has eyes, the soul has ears, and the soul has tongue. Bukman means when they speak garbage. They speak vain talk. They don't speak what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted them to speak. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said, in the same surah, He said, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضْ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. Their hearts are sick. And because their hearts are sick, Allah increased their sickness. And the scholar said, well, if their hearts are sick, why wouldn't Allah say, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَشَفَاهُمُ اللَّهُ. They have a disease in their heart. Allah recovered them out of their disease. Why did Allah say, فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا, increased their disease? It's because they are not interested into recovery. They, first of all, claim that they are not sick. You are the sick. They are not sick. They are fine, moderate, normal people, and you are the one who's radical out of your mind. That is the first thing they have. And then the second thing, they are not interested into treatment. وَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا إِن كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقُّ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ فَأَمْطِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ أَوْ اِتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. They said, O our Lord, if this is the truth you want us to follow, this way that disgusting and sucks, if this is the way, if this is the truth you want us to follow, we're not going to follow it. Shower us with stones from heaven or bring us a destruction that will take us away. But we're not following this. We're just not going to follow it. If this is the truth, we're not interested. وَقَالُوا, I mean, that's what they say according to the verse that Allah said on their tongue in the Quran. So they are not interested. So if Allah saw them interested into that direction, so here we go. Allah will match your interest with in Him with a greater interest. You come walking to Him, He comes running. You go running, He comes rushing in the speed of wind. And the more interest you have into Him, the more superior interest He has in you. And the more lack of interest you have in Him, the more lack of interest He has on you. At the end of Surah Al-Furqan, قُلْ لَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ فَقَدْ كَذَّبْتُمْ فَسَوْفَ يَكُونُ لِزَامًا. Allah doesn't care about you except the ones who have interest into Him and ask Him. Then He turns to them and He answers them. So here we go. They want misguidance. Allah increased them. They want sickness. Allah, they have sickness. Allah increased them into sickness. So the bottom line is that the soul gets sick. The soul needs exercise. Yes, the soul needs exercise. The tools of exercise, the kinds of exercises provided by Islam is good for the soul. Fasting. When your temptations are calling you during Ramadan to eat and drink. And Allah is telling you not to eat and drink. Okay? And then you are here in the middle. You have to make a decision. It's you're very hungry, you're very thirsty, you're so tempted to eat and drink. But Allah is saying don't eat and drink. It is an exercise that makes you in control of your own temptations. And don't let your temptations in control of you. And that's why Ramadan, they call him a learning institution. You graduate on the day of Eid with a certificate. The biggest one you get is that self-discipline. That you are able now to turn your back to your temptations and say, no, I am not following you. I'm following Allah. I am not Muslim or submissive to temptations. I am Muslim or submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only that, but also you are self-enforcing it. If you eat and drink, and then you clean up your mouth and everything, and you go out and the people, oh my God, I'm so tired, I'm fasting. And you just ate a meal 5 minutes ago. Oh my God, I'm fasting. Hey, are you fasting like me? Oh, okay, we are fasting. We are the people who fast. But it is not true. Nobody is going to be to know that. You know, so that is the second thing, is that you are self-enforcing. There are no law enforcement agencies that are going to go after you and make sure you're fasting and say you are under arrest for fasting. And of course, the third benefit is that you feel the hunger of the poor and needy, so that you pay the zakah and you suffer. The way we snack five times a day, we eat three meals and we never feel hungry. Now you feel hungry. And then the fourth reason for Ramadan, the fourth exercise, and all these are exercises for the soul. The fourth exercise or benefit you get for your soul out of the exercise called Ramadan is that you are able to turn your back to the halal things. Eating is halal, drinking is halal, of course outside Ramadan. If you are able to turn, say no to the halal, how about the haram? Okay, when we are required to fast from the haram 24/7, 365, then if you can fast from the halal, then you should be able also to fast from the haram. Very good training exercises for the soul. Now, why do we have to resort to the teachings of Islam to inspire our soul and to feed our soul? Why can't we just come up with our own, so that we turn off the light, we bring, you know, the smoke, that smells good, what do you call this, the bukhur. And then we start, or do yoga, or do any of those things and say, okay, this is the food for our soul. Why can't we come up with our own food? Why do we resort to the Quran and to the teaching of Islam? It is because we don't know much, we don't know anything about the soul. When the Jews quizzed the prophet and asked him three questions, one of them was, tell us, what is the soul? Tell us. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ Allah answered in Surah Al-Isra, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ They ask you about the soul. If the prophet would give an answer, he would have flunked the quiz. If there was any kind of answer, he would get an F in that quiz. The Jews had a book, and they were the only one that can quiz the prophet. So they quizzed him. What is the soul? And Allah answered, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ Tell them, وَقُلُ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا Tell them, the soul is from the affairs of my lords, from the affairs of my lord, and you are given very tiny little knowledge. So the correct answer is to say, I don't know. I don't know. If you try to pretend that you know or say anything about it, that means you're ignorant. That means that you don't know. That this thing is it cannot be known. It is beyond our ability to understand. Okay, if we can't understand the soul, then how can we come up with food and exercise for the soul? We need the one who made the soul to give us the exercises and the food that we need for the soul. But for the body, it's from mud and it is fed by mud. And we can, come up with food scientists and all these kind of things to feed the soul and to take care of the soul. So here we go. Allah provided us with all these exercises for the soul. The prayer. Why do we pray? Well, the prayer is an exercise for the soul. What is the purpose of the prayer? The purpose of the prayer, as Allah said in Surah Taha, إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي That I am Allah, the one who is no God except Him. Worship me and establish prayer for my remembrance, which is to bring Allah into the circle of focus. So our personal, we're limited in our circle of focus. Our circle of focus is so small. So we can keep only one thing at a time. As Allah said, مَا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِرَجُلٍ مِّن قَلْبَيْنِ فِي جَوْفِهِ Allah did not make it possible for a human to have two circles of focus in his heart. So it's only one. When I am playing with my kids, or spending time with my wife, or doing my personal business, they are in the circle of focus. Then Allah goes out of the circle of focus. Naturally, I mean, this is human nature. Okay, so now, once I realize that Allah is outside of the circle of focus, I should be bringing Him back. How? By taking some time off, cutting myself out of the things that I'm doing, and here, okay, 5 minutes, let me focus here. Try to bring Allah back into focus, into the circle of focus. And that is the purpose of the prayer. Okay? Now, we take that time and we spend focus on doing business. I don't know if you know this joke or not, that the guy who was praying the Dhuhr prayer behind an imam, and then after the prayer, he said to the imam, Ya Sheikh, why did you pray three rak'ahs? The Sheikh said, I prayed four. He said, no, you prayed three. He said, no, I prayed four. Then, okay, no, you prayed three, I can assure you. He said, let's ask the people, hey, I mean, how many rak'ahs did we pray? Four. How many rak'ahs did you pray? Four. I mean, everybody's saying four. Why are you the only one who are saying three? He said, I tell you why. Because I have four stores. I do the accounting of every store in one rak'ah. So I finished three stores and I didn't get to the fourth store, Sheikh. So I can swear by Allah that you only did three rak'ahs. Now, who is in the circle of focus now? When Allah say, khushu' means dedication. Bring out everything and don't try to remember. Yeah. Now, this khushu' is, without the help of Allah, is not possible. If your heart is dirty and you invite a very big, honorable king, and your house is dirty, the king is not going to come. You have to clean up your house. You have to clean up your heart. The king will look on your heart. No, it's not worthy. It's not good. Go do some job cleaning and then come back. Then I will try again on Asr time. Asr time, your heart is still not clean. Okay, go do some cleaning, try again on Maghrib. No, your house is still not clean. Go again and do come back on Isha and so forth. So now question is, why should we keep trying if we days and days pass by and we're trying to focus on our prayer and we're not? Think about it this way. If you are kicked out,
And you prayer is like knocking on the door. Ya Allah, let me in. Allah kicked you out, closed the door, and then you are knocking on the door and let me in. In the day of judgment, Allah will give you credit for trying. First of all, if you don't try, that's it. At least when you try, you have a chance. Maybe your heart at one point is clean enough, Allah comes in, you feel the sweetness of His presence in your heart. But if you don't try at all, that's it. Allah will never come. You lost the case completely if you don't try, number one. Number two, you don't get the benefit of trying in the day of judgment. So you keep trying, knocking, 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 and cleaning up, and then once you feel the sweetness of the presence of Allah once, then you will continue, inshallah, to seek that presence more and more. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا.
I have a question. We talk about breaking heart, breaking heart, and things like that, right? How is it related to physical heart? You mean physical heart? Is that related to that, or is it completely independent?
Wallahi, I believe they are not related. When I mean the heart, and like the eyes of the soul, the physical heart and the heart of the soul, the physical eyes and the eyes of the soul, I believe they are related only on the way you use your physical heart and you use your physical eyes and you use your physical. If you have a bad spiritual eye, then you will use your physical eye the haram way, and you will use your physical ears the haram way. That's the only relation that I can see between them. And you use your physical heart the haram way. But other than that, I don't see any relation. That's true. That's true. You got a very good point there. That you can many times maintain Allah in the circle of focus along the way. Yes, that's true. You have a good point. But sometimes in fighting, for example, or in big serious matters, it goes out completely. So in that we need to take some time off and bring it back.
Okay, we'll see you over there.
Can do some Quran into the shuruq.